I am so excited for today's interview. Today, we're going to be interviewing Allison Bowers. Now, Allison is a freelance communications and marketing consultant specializing in media relations and writing of all forms. After many years of unsuccessfully trying to squash that entrepreneurial itch, Allison began freelancing in September 2017 when her daughter was just 6 months old. Like many mompreneurs, her daughter was the catalyst for her to take the leap into starting her own business. So just shy of a year later, she has supported both agencies and independent business owners, earning them coverage in media outlets like Advertising Age, The New York Times, and The Washington Post, just to name a few. Combining her past agency experience with her tenure at a Fortune 500 specialty retailer and years spent with a startup consumer beverage brand has given her a unique perspective on brands in all stages of the business life cycle, plus a deep understanding for how to create impact for each client. Most importantly, she is a full-time mom to a busy and beautiful toddler who is the heart behind the entire operation and the motor that drives Allison every day. So let's jump on over and hear from Allison herself as she explains more about her business and about how you too can become a freelancer that has freedom and flexibility in your own life. So let me just jump on over. Great. So Allison, we are so excited to have you on today, and we're really excited to learn more about your business. So first off, just tell us a little bit about your background and your current freelancing business.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be on here with you today. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my background is just basically in communications and marketing, and I've done that, for the last 10 years professionally for large corporations, startups. And so I started freelancing as a marketing and communication specialist, specializing mostly in media relations and really writing of all sorts, because media relations, there's a lot of writing that goes into that, you know, with press releases and pitching and content and byline articles and all that kind of stuff. So primarily my focus is on earning clients coverage with news and lifestyle outlets, whether that be national, trade, local, just depending on their business goals.
Gotcha. And how did you get into freelancing?
Yeah, so I actually started freelancing last September, and I was working at the time full-time for a remote agency. It was a public relations agency, and she had started as a freelancer, and she had built this remote agency where everyone worked from home, and she was able to start an agency with really low overhead. But she had started as a freelancer, and just with the full time and having my daughter, it wasn't quite the right fit. And she encouraged me, like, hey, maybe this isn't the right fit for you, but, you know, have you ever thought about freelancing?
Right.
And so she kind of inspired me to like take the leap. And then she was like, and I'll be your first client.
Awesome.
So, you know, she kind of, not only did she mentor me and kind of like give me like the confidence that I already had that I just kind of needed to tap into to do that, she also bolstered that by saying like, hey, I believe in you so much. I want to be your first client. So she
That's
gave me
that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that first day like when you were by yourself, when you were on your own?
It was scary. Also, you know, just a sense of relief sort of, because I've always had this dream of being my own boss and owning my own business. And I think when you think about that, at least initially for me, you know, in my early 20s, it had to be something complicated or something fun or something sexy or something big. Like when you're thinking about starting a business, something people want to talk about in the news. And what I had to recognize in myself is that I had a marketable skill that could be turned into a business with very low overhead. And I just needed to go after it. So, I
absolutely love that. You know, we all have some skill, and it's kind of, if you want to take the leap, figure out what that skill is and how you can position it. And before you know it, you're almost a year in. Congrats.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. So it's been good. So, but yeah, that first day was exhilarating, scary, but, it's almost like a day I had been waiting for a long time.
Yep, absolutely. So you mentioned that your old boss was your first client. Where have other clients of yours really come from, kind of in those first couple of months and then through to, you know, now almost a year in?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the agency world, especially like where I live, it's pretty tight-knit community. I would say it probably is everywhere just because, you know, employees probably move from place to place, or the owners of the agencies or the, you know, heads of departments have some kind of communications with each other and talk to each other. So word of mouth in that sense, where she actually not only would, you know, recommend me to other people who own or manage agencies, but also if a contract or interest came across her desk that maybe wasn't the right fit for her agency budget-wise or scope-wise, she would recommend me as like, hey, we can't do this. This isn't a fit for us, but I know somebody who this might be a fit for. So I got a few of my independent like business owner clients in that way. And it's honestly been word of mouth. Like all of my agency partners have been word of mouth. One of them literally is my sister's patient. My sister's a physical therapist. So one of my big agency partners is her patient. And she was talking about me one day and she said, oh, I need a writer. And so that she connected us. And then LinkedIn, honestly, has been a really good source of referrals for me. I found agency partners through that as well, where media relations managers are looking for someone like me and they identify me on LinkedIn and reach out. So,
So really, you've been talking to people about what you do and then also communicating and building relationships with people who are in the same field as you.
Right. Yes.
How do you really, I guess, stand apart and tell them what you do and where you can fit into, you know, their business?
I think that's hard, especially in this role as a freelance media relations specialist, because I think a lot of agencies, you know, they've had experience with freelancers, some good, some not so good, mostly the latter.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I have one of my clients currently who appreciates me coming in and co-working once a week if I can manage it, because they've had this experience in the past where out of sight, out of mind. And when their freelancers haven't had any face time with their team, one, their team doesn't feel comfortable giving them projects. And two, they just don't know what's happening, or, you know, they don't feel like they get a good sense of trust from that person. So I think it is hard to, you know, verbally say, this is how I stand apart from everybody else. But I think that my work and just who I am with my clients, it shows that. You know, I was just dealing with a little bit of an issue today with some invoicing, but I think how I handled it and, you know, what I was choosing to communicate to her, she basically said, I don't want this to come in between our relationship.
Right.
Because the quality of my work and who I am as an individual, I think that shines through in just their relationship with me. So.
Perfect. I love that. Now, you mentioned this in our previous conversation that you still don't have a website. So do you feel as though this hindered you at all from connecting with new clients?
I don't right now. So, you know, initially it's almost like, I think that's one of those big things that almost gives people that like paralysis.
Yes.
Well, I can't move forward because I haven't done this. And I had that initial thought. And I remember the mentor that I mentioned who owned the agency that I was working for, I said, oh, now I need a website. She said, no, she's like, you really don't at first. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, if she says that, then okay.
Yep.
So I moved forward without one, and it is on my to-do list, but also I'm trying to decide how I want that to look and what that I want that to be and how I want to market myself in that sense, because currently, my biggest clients are agencies. My most consistent, my biggest clients are agencies. And so other than to just put like a portfolio out there and just kind of more of like a freelancer style website to kind of brand myself as an agency, I'm then almost branding myself as a competitor to my current clients. So I think eventually as I grow this from more, less of like a service where I have to be doing the work to make any income into more of a business where potentially I would have employees and actually be trying to grow an agency, that's going to be like the line where I need to actually figure out how I want to brand myself, put myself on the web, because I will be needing to have that customer facing website in order to gain those clients. But right now, that's not where my clients are looking for me. My clients are the agencies, and they're not out there Googling, you know, freelancers, and maybe they are, but I think they're more likely looking for someone with my skill set on LinkedIn to connect with, or talking to their other, you know, agency friends and counterparts saying, we really need a good freelancer. Do you know anyone? So I don't think it's hindered me yet.
Perfect. I completely agree with what you say. You know, so many freelancers, as they're just starting out, they want a website, and then it goes 6 months and they still don't have the website that they want. Yeah. They don't even know what their messaging is yet. And they don't know that value proposition. And so then, you know, 6 months in, they're still trying to figure out their website when they could have had 6 months of clients.
Absolutely. And I would just to echo what you said, I mean, what I've done, it has evolved. So I'm still in the same space that I started with, but I'm finding my niche, I'm finding my strengths. Yeah. And so if I had put a website together last September, just starting out, it would have needed to be updated already.
Yes.
But again, I can operate as, you know, initially an independent contractor and then as a LLC without that. And just as Allison Bowers LLC, without having to put a lot of time into the branding.
Right.
And, you know, just trying to figure out what that value proposition is and how the copywriting and images, like that's a lot of work and it needs to be done eventually, but it shouldn't prevent me from getting started.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, many other freelancers have difficulty really figuring out their pricing strategy that they use on bidding and on projects and everything. Can you talk a little bit about how you came up with your own rate?
Yeah, I think that is a tough thing. And again, luckily, I had a mentor who not only had been in that space personally herself, but she owned an agency where she was hiring freelancers. So she kind of gave me an opinion on, hey, this is a range that I think as a freelancer just starting out with your skill set, I think this would be viable for you. And, you know, wherever you feel comfortable within that range, I think you could get work. So that was nice to have that kind of direction from someone who has, you know, experience hiring freelancers and, you know, a willingness to pay them for their time in that way. And then also I worked for agencies. So I know the agency rates that people are charging for, you know, account executives time or, you know, junior AE time. And so you kind of look at that and you recognize like there's all that markup built into there. And so, you know, obviously you're not undercutting agencies, you're just different. You're one person, so you don't have the overhead and you don't need to have charge as much as they do. So I think she was really helpful in just directing me to try to find a range. And then I kind of worked within that range. And if there was a client that, you know, I could tell was going to be a little bit tougher, I might, you know, quote them the higher range. And if they said yes, like we'd go for it. But, you know, if there was a client willing to sign a 3-month contract, but are, you know, they needed me to come down $5, I, you know, willing to make that change. But I'm also, I think it's important for freelancers to value themselves and not just take a job, you know, I know on Upwork and stuff like that, you know, there's people who want to pay $5 an hour for someone to do, you know, something like what I do.
Right.
That's not valuing someone's time, and freelancers need to value, like, you have a skill set, you have a marketable skill set that you can earn an income on. So don't undervalue who you are.
Yes, no, absolutely. Please don't undervalue who you are.
Right. We can raise the entire group of freelancers by committing not to undervalue ourselves.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, taking kind of your background of working for agencies and seeing, you know, not only what other freelancers are charging, but also what the big agencies are charging and basing your pricing off of that, I think is a great thing for freelancers as you're just starting out to really try and do, because then you get, you know, a much larger scope of, oh, well, these are the services that much bigger companies are doing. Right. How can that fit into my offerings? Which actually leads me to my next question that does tie in a lot to valuing your own time and knowing what your value is. And that's it. Previously, we spoke about, you know, some conversations that you've had with clients, and you've really done a great job sticking to a set scope of work. So how has this affected your business? And can you just kind of talk a little bit about some times when you've had to, you know, say, this is my value, this is my scope of work, and either we work together or we don't.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I started this business for many reasons, but mostly I started this business because I wanted some more flexibility to be with my daughter more and to raise my daughter through her early years. So I think when you keep your, you know, your values and your why in mind, it's easier to stick to a scope per se. So if you think about the things that don't allow you to, you know, pursue your why, those are things that you shouldn't be saying yes to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll tell you a story. And I told you this story before, but, you know, I was initially invited to interview for a team of writers for this agency that had this really big healthcare client with a huge project. And she was interviewing me in order to be like one of the writers on this team. But knowing my background, she said, "Hey, would you be able to handle the social media piece of this?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "I have the skill set to do that, but I will not be doing that because I've committed to myself not to be managing social audiences, like growing audiences, engaging with social communities. Yes. I don't want to be managing people's accounts. That is not what I want to be doing with my time right now because my daughter is super young. I don't want her to see me with my phone in front of my face all the time. Yep. I want to work when I'm working, and when I'm not working, I don't want to be worried about, oh, do I need to respond to that Facebook comment or did someone write something terrible on Instagram?" And she, you know, she paused for a moment and then she said, "I respect you so much for saying that and not just saying yes, thinking that maybe if you said no, I wouldn't hire you for the writing because I needed someone to do this." She's like, "You said no and you stuck to it." So not only did she tell me that in our interview, then she went, she's the patient of my sister. She told my sister at the next appointment that I had impressed her so much and that she would be hiring me before she even told me she was hiring me. And then at our team, like orientation for the team of writers that she put together, she like stopped in the middle and told the entire team about this interaction between her and I and just how much it had meant to her and how much she respected that. And kind of as like an example of like, as freelancers, it's okay to say yes. No. And so that's kind of the story I tell when it comes to like sticking to a scope and sticking to your values and understanding and valuing your why and making sure that the services you're offering and the things you're saying yes to align with that.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's so important for all freelancers, all business owners, and even, you know, employees at different companies to really recognize that it's okay to say, no, that is out of the scope of what, you know, what I can do, and really stick to their guns with that.
Yeah.
Lexi, so you brought up your daughter a couple of times.
Yeah.
How do you balance it, childcare and work?
So that's the question of the year, right? So, I mean, I think this is so different for every mother, every father, you know, every parent has to figure out what works for them. For me, I have the interesting situation of her father and I separating early on. And so we have a shared parenting schedule. So fortunately for my freelancing business, this gives me 2 full weekdays, Mondays and Thursdays, where I don't have my daughter. These are great days to have because Mondays, it's the beginning of the week. So it allows me to like kind of dig in and get a lot of work done at the beginning of the week, especially because that's when media are in their offices answering emails. Thursday is a great day because it's close to the end of the week. You know, so I'm able to wrap up kind of before the weekend with all my clients. And then in the in-between, I mean, it's just like every other working like mother, parent thing, nap time, nighttime. It's not unusual for me to work for 3 hours after 8 o'clock, you know, 1 to 3 hours every evening after 8 o'clock. You know, she's with her dad on the weekends a little bit. So even though it's the weekend, I make sure I get some work done. So it's just, it's a balancing act for sure. But
it really provides you that freedom and flexibility to spend those days during the week with her. Yeah,
it does. And it's so worth it just to see how she grows and getting to experience all the things that I wouldn't get to experience if I was working full time in a office environment and having to put her in daycare. And again, I support all parents and all of their choices. This is what I felt led to do. This is where my heart is. And so I had to figure out how to make it work for her and I to be in space together. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on making it work.
Thank you.
So far.
Thank you.
I know with a little one, I think ours are pretty much almost the same age. I think Mary Catherine's a little bit older, but
yeah,
like every week is a different schedule. So.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes. And you just got to make it work. And luckily I have really wonderful clients who they know I have a daughter, but I also don't try to ever make her be an excuse.
Yes.
Like she's not an excuse for not servicing my clients. They need what needs to get done needs to get done. So I think that's also important too. It's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get to that. My daughter was sick. It's,
right.
You know, if something's delayed, it's, you know, hugely apologetic, but I'm not going to give them an excuse about my daughter because I want them to think that I'm fully capable and not, you know, someone who's just at home playing with their kid, not doing work and getting paid.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Not,
absolutely.
Right? So, yeah.
Oh, goodness. So as you manage your time and as you, you know, work all day on Monday, then on and off on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, mm-hmm. how do you... you know, manage actual client projects? Are there tools that you utilize that other freelancers might benefit from utilizing?
Yeah, maybe. So working for agencies, I kind of learned a lot of project management and mm-hmm. about a lot of different tools that agencies use to manage productivity, track time, all that kind of stuff. So one of my favorites is Teamwork's project management system.
Oh, okay. And
their associated timer app. Obviously, I'm needing to track all of my time for my clients so that I can bill. So this one's integrated. I use QuickBooks for invoicing. So I've experienced mm-hmm. a little bit with their timesheets involved in that for the time tracking. And then for me too, my calendar, I live mm-hmm. by it. And, you know, we had a little snafu with our calendar appointment, but I try to make sure that things get on there immediately because what I noticed when I was first starting out is as a new mom, as a new business owner, your memory, it's just not the same. And your brain is so full and so busy that if you don't put your calendar appointments in immediately, you lose track of them.
Yep.
And the other thing too, it's just blocking time on my calendar for specific things. Because I've noticed that if I do that, if I create a block of time for pitching for XYZ client during the 11 to 12 o'clock hour, I'm more likely to do it than to push it and do something else because it's like I've scheduled it. So I think just blocking that time and then really having to keep myself accountable for making sure that I'm doing what I've blocked in the mm-hmm. times that I am. And of course that shifts, obviously.
Yes.
Clients send emergency emails, there's a fire and you have to shift and pivot. But, you know, I make it work. But those would probably be like my main tools that I utilize.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing those. Those are going to be really helpful for people. And then our last question is, what are the top tips that you can give to freelancers who are just starting off?
Sure. I think most importantly, it's believe in yourself, believe in what you do, and believe in why you're doing it, kind of like I alluded to before. I think that having a really strong purpose and why it makes you more successful. Whether it be you want to travel the world, whether it be you have a young child like I do, whatever your why is, that's mm-hmm. fine. But have a strong why and a sense of purpose because it'll drive all your work and it'll make it that much better.
Yes.
The second thing I would say is look ahead. So mm-hmm. when I say this, I mean, be thinking about new business before you need the new business. I think this is where a lot of freelancers get into a sticky spot. They feel comfortable. They feel safe. They've got a lot of good clients. And then, you know, that contract comes up and maybe three come up at the same time. And they're like, oh, shoot, I need new business. So think about that new business before you need it, but not so much that you're sacrificing the quality of the service you're providing or whatever it is you're providing for your clients. But just look ahead. And then the last one that I wrote down to share with everyone mm-hmm. is just make sure it's a fit, whatever that means. Does that mean do your values align with your clients? Do the services they're asking for align with your strengths and experience? Are you excited about the product or service they're offering? Do you like them as a human being? Like simple things like this. And if you can't answer yes to all of these questions, it's probably better to turn down the project because ultimately if it's not a good fit, it probably won't be a successful business relationship. And that's probably going to hurt you more than saying no to that potential income. So Those are my three big ones.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And those three things, you know, it's not just for new freelancers. It's even when you're
everybody
in. If it's not a good fit with a client, you know that client is going to take up 80% of your time. So not sign on.
Absolutely. And you know, what I found with media, specifically with media results, like if you're not excited about what it is that they're selling, they're doing, it's so hard to actually get them results because that excitement doesn't come through in your pitches. It doesn't come through in your conversations. And so it's like, don't take on something that doesn't excite you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Allison, for your time. Is there any other words of guidance or inspiration?
I don't think so. It's been really fun talking today. I hope everybody enjoys our conversation.
Yes, yes. And if one of the viewers does want to learn more about you, do you have any contact information that you'd like to share?
Yeah, they can, since I don't have a website, they can email me at Bowers, B-O-W-E-R-S, .Allison@gmail.com. Or look me up on LinkedIn, Allison Bowers, and I can send you those links too.
Wonderful. Yes, we will put those links in the description. And thank you so much for your time, Allison. It has been such a pleasure learning more about your business, how you've gotten clients, and those tips and pieces of advice for other freelancers to take into their business. And congratulations, you're almost a year in.
Thank you so much. The pleasure's been all mine today.
Perfect. Isn't that so inspirational, hearing stories from freelancers who know their passions, know their expertise from the very first day, and are able to live a life based on their values and have clients who value them in return? So I absolutely loved getting to know Allison and her business, and I wanted to invite each and every one of you to take a look at our website, socialspeaknetwork.com/first-month. Now on this page, we have a free download of the first 31 steps that you can take to creating a freelance business that does just what Allison's does, that aligns with your values, that has a purpose, that gets you working with those clients that you want to work with at a price that feels good for both of you, and that allows you to create referral partnerships with complementary businesses in your target market and industry. Now, these referral businesses, as we just heard from Allison, can really transform your business at any stage, but most importantly, as you're getting started. It allows you the time to figure out how much you want to charge, who your ideal client is, and put into place the systems that you need to really grow exponentially. So thank you again, Allison, for joining us today. Again, my name's Caitlin McDonald with the Social Speak Network, and thank you so much for tuning in.